This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:50 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. Now, last week, the government tabled the Finance Bill 2021, which details the legislative reforms needed to implement measures under Budget 2022. And one of the big changes under the budget was the introduction of foreign source income tax beginning January 1st next year. Now, at present, only resident companies in banking, insurance, sea insurance, and sea or transport, air transport, are taxed on a worldwide income. This change would mean that this regime would be extended to all businesses and individuals that derive income outside of Malaysian borders.
Now, Malaysia was recently included in the EU's tax grey list because of concerns over our exemption on foreign source income and the risk that it creates tax loopholes. So do the proposals under Budget 2022 mitigate these concerns, but without affecting our competitiveness?
So for a better understanding of how the foreign source income or FSI law would operate, we speak to Tan Hui Beng, Deputy Tax Lead at Deloitte Malaysia. Good morning, Hui Beng. Thanks for joining us today. Now, the government is introducing taxes on foreign source income beginning 1st January 2022. What are the broad parameters of this tax as revealed in the finance bill? And what details still need clarity?
Thank you. Good morning. And thanks for having me. So this foreign source taxation on foreign source income is really a talk of town. And what will happen here is from 1st January 2022, any foreign source income received in Malaysia will be subject to Malaysian tax if you're a resident. In the past, it's not subject to tax. Now, from 1st January 2022 to 30th June 2022, a special rate at 3% on gross taxation will apply. And thereafter, from 1st July 2022 onwards, you'll be subject to normal tax for corporation at 24%, and for people like you and I at our skill rate, right? So that's already in the bill. What needs to be clarified really here is the meaning of receive, because if the income is not received in Malaysia, then it does not trigger tax. And the meaning of receive could mean a lot of things, although the dictionary meaning is quite simple. Yeah. So that's one important point that needs to be clarified.
Yeah, I want to zoom into specific scenarios so that we get a better understanding of how this tax works. So how would the new tax rules on FSI affect Malaysian businesses with subsidiaries abroad? If you could just give us an example of how it works, please.
Yeah, sure. So as you know, Malaysian conglomerates, Malaysian-based group have sometimes they do have a number of subsidiaries overseas. So before the post-change law, dividends, let's say you have a company, a subsidiary in Singapore, suffer some corporate taxation in Singapore, and thereafter any dividends that are being remitted back to Malaysia, that is free from Malaysian tax. And, so that does encourage people to remit back the money. But with this taxation on foreign source income, including dividend, right, that simply means when the parent company receives the dividend, it will be subject to Malaysian tax at 24%. Of course, there's some foreign tax credit to be dealt with, but generally, there will be some top-up tax in Malaysia. Why I say there's a top-up tax? Because, for example, in Singapore, the corporate tax rate is 17%. Malaysia corporate tax rate is at 24%. Obviously, there is a top-up to be done. So suddenly, there is you need to fork out additional taxes. So the question is then, will this deter company from sending back the dividends from foreign subsidiaries to Malaysia, where at this moment the time is now for us to pump prime the economy, right? So we want the money to come back. So the question is, will this new taxation regime have the impact on that objective? Yeah.
So that's on the business side. Turning to individuals that earn income abroad through property rentals, for example, are they also liable to pay foreign source income tax?
Yeah, that's a good question. And some of us do have properties overseas, right? So take a simple example. If you have a property in Singapore, right? A condominium in Singapore, obviously the rental income will be subject to Singapore tax. That's for sure, because the source is in Singapore, right? But because you're a resident in Malaysia and under the new rule, that rental income, when you receive the rental income in Malaysia from Singapore, that will be subject to Malaysian tax. But of course, any taxes paid in Singapore will serve as a foreign tax credit in a way set off. But as I said earlier, there is will be a top-up tax because Malaysian tax rate is higher than the rate in Singapore, right? So other example will be employment income. You just imagine there are a number of people in Johor Bahru, right, who commutes to Singapore to work every day, he's going to suffer he's going to suffer Malaysian tax on the salary being received in Malaysia from a Singapore company. In the past, you know, you can remit free of Malaysian tax. So this is going to be a big issue as well, right? And then to say that, you know, you don't, probably the planning is not to remit the money back to Malaysia for the employer. It's not going to be easy because he has Malaysian commitment to be done. For example, in JB, probably he's paying some installment, house installment. He needs the money, right? So that's going to be a bit problematic, yeah.
I'm just curious though, maybe it's a little bit harder for individuals, but for corporates, they will of course implement some form of tax planning. So at the end of the day, do we really know how much tax this will raise, this FSI tax?
This is really a relevant question. As a background, why Malaysia introduced this, among others, to react to the European Union's inclusion of Malaysia in the grey list, right? So that was meant for more to royalty and interest, but unfortunately, this proposal is quite wide to cover dividend income as well. So, this will impact Malaysian company as a whole. There probably will be some incremental tax, but we do not know what will be the real increment here. So I think the government probably would need to do some study because whilst tax collection may be enhanced in short run, but I think Malaysian competitiveness somehow can be impacted over the long run. So I think there's a price to pay here. So I think a thorough study may be required. And 1st January 2022 is just around the corner, you know? So I think... let me be clear about this. Malaysia is a sovereign nation. Malaysia has every right to change the taxation regime. Not an issue of that, but it's more to whether the timing is right and when we compare to other nations in this region, are we competitive or not? That is the question that we should be asking. Yeah. Yeah.
Related to what you just said, can you give us some colour then in terms of whether our peers in the region implement such a FSI tax? Because I'm sure businesses will start comparing.
Absolutely. So this is the important point here. We just take a few countries, maybe just take Singapore as an example. Singapore is not in the EU grey list because their taxation system is on territorial plus remittance, like Malaysia as well, you know. But why they are not in, that's a nice thing for us to learn properly. But they do have some general exemption, general concession. For example, Singapore company receiving dividends from subsidiaries overseas, where the headline tax in the overseas country is at least 15%, that is not subject to Singapore tax. So all in all, there are only a few countries in the world impose tax on, especially on dividends. And most European countries have what we call a participation exemption anyway, to exempt the dividend. So my point here is not many countries is taxing dividends. So really, I think we got to take one step back and ask ourselves, is this the direction that we want to go? Yeah.
All right. So there definitely needs to be more details and more clarity on how the government intends to implement this to actually benefit Malaysia in the long run. Turning our attention to another new change that's being made under the finance bill, and that is the introduction of the tax identification number. I think the government is looking to amend the Tax Act 1967 to do this. Could you tell us what are the implications of this for the taxpayer and the government? How will the TIN make a more efficient taxation system?
Thanks. And I am all for TIN, right? This is a good stuff. And it has been implemented in various developed nations. So definitely it's the right thing to do. TIN is a situation where a tax number will be assigned to an individual or even a company for the purpose of income tax, for the purpose of stamp duty and real property gains tax. It simply means this will improve the tax enforcement, and you can expect the government should be able to widen the tax base. And for individual, I can only say this: with TIN, you can run, but you can't hide. You know, so this is good stuff.
Can you ever hide from the tax man, though?
No, the answer is no. Yeah, absolutely no. And shouldn't? Why should we? Right? If you pay the right amount of taxes, do not run. It's our duty to pay tax at the right amount. Right, the right amount, of course.
Huibing, very well said. Thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Tan Huibing, Deputy Tax Lead at Deloitte Malaysia, explaining to us how the foreign source income tax could work when it starts being implemented next year in January, and also about the implications of the tax identification number. It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. Because tax as a GDP percentage in Malaysia very low compared to some of our regional peers. So we do need to broaden the tax base definitely for all the fiscal measures that we want to carry out.
Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.